Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and this is Jessica, Community Engagement Specialist and Librarian at Syosset Public Library, and my co-host is
Evelyn Hershkowitz, also Syosset Public Library, but I'm a Reader Services Librarian, and with us we have our very special guest.
I'm Samantha Downing, the author of My Lovely Wife and the upcoming book He Started It.
Those books are crazy. That's not a bad thing. They are crazy.
Crazy good.
Yeah. So Evelyn was the first person who alerted me to your books. So I'm going to let her begin.
Okay. I loved My Lovely Wife. It was like such a thriller, and the characters are just so great, the husband and wife. Do you want to tell our audience what it's about?
Sure. It's about a couple who has been married for about 15 years. They have two kids. They live in a gated community in Florida. They're very normal, and then they get bored. So they decide to become serial killers. And that's the story is told from the perspective of the husband. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
I have to say, one thing that I loved about this book, and I didn't realize it until after I'd finished, and then I began kind of just like looking at just other reviews to kind of see who figured out what before me. He didn't have a name, like an actual name, throughout the entire book.
No, he does not. He's an unnamed narrator, and so his real name is never revealed.
It blew me away, because when somebody said, because he uses an alias at times, Tobias, and they said, you know, well, what's Tobias's real name? And I paused, and I said, we never found out.
Right. It's true. I've even had some reviewers and bloggers email me saying, just tell me his name because I don't have time to go back and look for it.
Did you give him a name at all?
Yeah, I know his name, but he never reveals it.
That's amazing.
I was definitely inspired by Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier, that also has an unnamed narrator. And I loved the technique of it. And Fight Club, the narrator is never named in the movie either. So you know the name Tyler Durden, but you don't know the narrator's name.
Because Tyler Durden, this is like an old spoiler, is not a real person.
His alter ego. Basically.
Exactly.
So, another book like that. Did you ever read Damage by Josephine Hart?
No. Is that another
one? That's another one. You never know the name of the person either. And I remember reading that and returning it to the library and thinking about it and like, I have to go back and get that book because I can't for the life of me remember the person's name. So that is a great thing when you don't really know their name.
It was really great because on top of that, there was so much to unpack in that book.
There is a lot. It sounds very dark. I should make it clear. The book is not bleak in any way. It is not graphically violent in any way, despite the fact that it has a knife on the cover. It is not a gory book. At all. So it does poke fun of suburban life, and it pokes fun of gated communities and keeping up with the Joneses. So there is a lot of satire in the book. It's more along the lines of thriller comedy, horror thriller comedy. It's tongue-in-cheek is what it is.
Which is so, how I feel that horror always works best when it has that.
Mm-hmm. I think so too, because otherwise you just get into something that's bleak and dark and depressing. Mm-hmm. And who wants to read that? I don't want to read that. So I try to write the books that I would want to read. So,
and that was your debut novel? I'm sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
That was your debut novel.
That was the debut novel, right. Yes.
And what have you done before that?
That is actually the 12th book I've written. It was just the first one that was published. I wrote as a hobby for 20 years and never even considered getting published. It seemed like an impossible dream. So I really didn't even try. And I'm only published from a major fluke of someone in my writer. I was in a local writer's group, and someone in the writer's group sent that book to a friend who sent it to an agent in New York. And that is the only reason why I'm published, because I never sent it out. So somebody else did it for me. And I signed with an agent, and she sold the book in 2 days.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So,
what is your other career?
I worked at an investment company. It was mainly manufacturing. I used to have to travel to the Midwest a lot, to Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio. And I left that job at the end of the year, end of 2019, to become a full-time writer. So
that is so amazing. Yeah. Okay, so now let's talk about your book. He started it. I have the advance reader copy. It says it was coming out 4/28/20.
Yeah, it was changed to July 21st.
So it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, it got caught in the whole shutdown of everything, and a lot of the publishers started moving books around because all our tours got canceled and everything. All the bookstores were closed, all the independent bookstores. So now that everything's opening back up, July 21st is a better date. And that is about a road trip. It's about three siblings and two of their spouses who have to go on a road trip in order to get their grandfather's inheritance. So they have to get to the end of the road trip to put their grandfather's ashes there. And it's a road trip that they took when they were kids, the exact same road trip. So the book goes between the first road trip and the second road trip. And they have a lot of secrets and a lot of grudges and a lot of scores to settle. And I don't know, to me, it's a nightmare to be stuck in a car for 2 weeks. With my brother, somebody would die. I mean, I know somebody's gonna die one way or the other. All of my road trips have actually been good because they've been with friends and not family, which is a totally different scenario. So this one, I wanted that pressure cooker of an environment where they're literally just stuck together for hours on end. And you know, there aren't very many people you spend 24 hours a day with. And they're usually the people that you choose to spend 24 hours a day with. These people are forced together. In fact, it's funny because there's a line in it that one of the reviewers brought up to me, where one of the characters actually says, it's like we're quarantined or something. And it was funny given that we actually all did get quarantined. It was funny, but it is that it goes across the United States, and they visit places that are real. Every place in the book is a place that exists, and they're off the beaten track. They don't go to the Grand Canyon. They go to these little tourist trap places. So it is fascinating in that way. If that kind of thing at all is intriguing to you, there's a lot of that in the book in every state that they visit, and they don't go anywhere normal. So they don't go. And I did a lot, there was a lot of research into those places.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Have you been to these places, any of them?
No, I have not. I did not. I should say that. I've been to the Bonnie and Clyde part in Louisiana because I live in New Orleans. But I did not get to actually go on the road trip myself. But that's probably the most amount of research I put into a book, because I had to map it out and research each location and how long it would take to get there, because it had to be the amount of time. I didn't know what day they could get to what place and all of that. So I didn't go on the road trip myself, though. So one day maybe I will go on the same road trip.
I just want to talk about the Helen Keller Museum. I want to go there. I mean, as a kid, every time I had to do a book report or a report, whatever it was, as a kid, I did it on Helen Keller. Like, I knew so much about Helen Keller in my younger years.
Yeah.
I really would love to go there. But yes, I found it, you know, at one point, I can't even say what because I don't want to give it away. I was like, what the is going on? I was like, I cannot believe this is happening. You love killing people.
I like books that have twists and unexpected things along the way, as opposed mm-hmm. to one big thing at the end. So I try to figure out what's the most obvious thing here, and then I never do the obvious.
Oh, okay. Well, you did. The ending was pretty amazing too.
Do you have any siblings yourself?
I have a brother, and he is very much like Eddie, actually, but he's not as evil. So that's good. But he is sarcastic, and I can see him being the kind that would, unless he decided he wanted to sleep, he would absolutely be driving the whole way. Like Eddie was always driving, and he didn't let anybody else drive. I could totally see my brother being like that. So there were certainly parts of it, and we have a very sarcastic relationship. Even now when we get together, it's like we're 12 years old all over again. And that's kind of what I wanted to get into in the book, is that when you're with your siblings, you become kids again. You know, your relationship doesn't, if I'm at a restaurant with my brother now, as soon as he gets up and goes to the bathroom, I steal something from his side of the table, like his sunglasses, his phone, whatever it is. And then I wait to see how long it's going to take him to be. I mean, that's just the way we are. So I think that kind of thing just extends throughout your whole life, because you spent your formative years together and you have a shared history as kids. So
yeah. And then do you hide it?
And siblings know how to push your buttons.
Oh, do they ever? they certainly do. So then when you steal it from your brother, do you hide it? Like the book, the things that got hidden?
Yeah, I totally hide it, and then I wait, and then sometimes he notices right away, and sometimes it's not till he's leaving, and he checks his pockets, and he's like, where are my sunglasses, or where am I? So sometimes he's thinking about it, and sometimes he's not. So
anybody else in the book based, is anybody else in the book based on somebody you know?
No, not specifically. Portia went to Tulane University here in New Orleans in the book. And I've definitely known lots of girls like Portia. So she's sort of a combination of girls that I've known. And Beth's husband, Felix, he's just this very even keel, not volatile person. And I've known guys like that before, nothing specific, but just his personality type is that he's even keel. And unlike all the siblings, he is not volatile. So he's that stable force.
I guess that's good for Felix, maybe, that he's the voice of reason. What about Grandpa? What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Grandpa, he was an interesting character. Yeah, he was not really in a good place when they went on that road trip. I don't think I'm giving anything away too much if I say it was less than a year before their original road trip that his wife had died, Grandma had died. So he was not in a good place when he took the kids on the road trip.
Yeah, when he took the kids on the road trip.
Right, exactly.
You know, it took me a while to realize that the "he started it" was like you're in the back of the car with your siblings and you're like, "he started it," and not like, you know, "he started it," because the whole time I'm like, wait a second, who started it? And then I'm like, oh, it was him, right? Like, you know, you're poking your brother.
Yeah, I was definitely, with the title, I was trying to imply siblings, since you say that so much with your siblings, without actually saying the something something sister or the something something brother. And there's only so many words you can use for siblings. So I thought maybe that phrase would clue people in that was about siblings. But I have heard a lot of people think it's about like a husband-wife thing, a "he started it, she started it" thing. But it does imply that's what it was supposed to be.
Planning the sequel, which would be called "I'm Not Touching You"?
No.
Or it's his fault.
I'm not touching you. Some people have asked about a sequel to My Lovely Wife, but I don't have any sequels planned for any of it. So.
And what about all the other books you've written now that you're...
Not all of them were thrillers, and I don't feel any need to rework any of them. They're all sort of, I just feel like going forward is the best route, and the goal is just to write a better book each time, and
Do you feel like you've really hit your stride by writing these thrillers? I mean, they're so much fun.
Well, I like this. I grew up reading this genre. I mean, they were always all over the house. We had J. John Grisham, Michael Crichton, Mary Higgins Clark. They were, my whole family read thrillers, so it was sort of natural for me to sort of come full circle and actually start writing them. Because I tried lots of things over the years. I mean, I had written straight horror, like supernatural horror. I had written literary. I had, you know, when you're not published, you can do whatever you want. You can write whatever you want. So I just wrote whatever I felt like writing. And probably this kind of thriller, which is a domestic thriller, never would have happened without something like Gone Girl.
Right.
That sort of made the whole idea of that genre explode. Books where police and detectives are not the main characters, which is pretty much what domestic thrillers are.
And the unlikely narrators also. Mm-hmm. That's what Gone Girl.
So do you read a lot of thrillers now? Like, is that still something you read and enjoy?
I do. I read a ton of, I get a lot of them now for blurb requests.
Mm-hmm.
So I read a lot of them, and I love the genre. So I love to see what's going on in the genre. And I think the thriller genre is so huge. I mean, there's everything from spy thrillers to domestic thrillers to everything in between, that the more the genre can be pushed and experimented with, the better it is for readers, because readers don't want to read the same book all over and over again.
Well, this one certainly is not the same. Wait, Mary Kubica blurbs on yours. It says, a twisty, sneaky tale of greed, lies, and betrayal, with each character as conniving as the next, and an ending that will make your heart stop. Couldn't agree more. That was very succinct.
Yes.
Wonderful how she said all that. Wow. So now that your book's not coming out to July, you still don't know if you're touring or anything. You'll be doing a lot of these Zoom type of interviews and stuff.
Right. And from what I understand, bookstores aren't really having gatherings like that now. The public gatherings aren't happening, especially indoors. So right. There won't be any book tour as far as I know. I can't imagine those start up at all anytime before the fall or winter.
Right.
Just because of the people gathered together, you know, in mm-hmm. a small space, usually it's not a good idea.
Right. So are you writing something now?
Yes.
Do you have something else to look forward to?
I am in edits for the third book.
Oh.
So that's a ways out, a year out, a year after the other one. They come out about a year and year apart. And my lovely wife was optioned for a movie. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
That would be very great.
So who do you see as the main characters?
Hollywood is shut down, so they're not actually filming anything out there. So I don't have any casting. The news came out right when the paperback came out March 3rd, and the news was announced then, and then we shut down basically March 15th or something. Mm. So
who would you like to see play those parts?
Well, it was Nicole Kidman's production company is one of the partners on it. So obviously I would love Nicole Kidman to do it. That would be fantastic.
To be Millicent?
Yes. Be
she's definitely played her share of those characters, and she's got the hair for it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I think a lot of actresses could do it. I mean, there's a lot of actresses that can dye their hair red, because the red hair is so her, but it doesn't have to be Jessica Chastain or Amy Adams. It doesn't have to be a redheaded actress. So those are just the ones that come to mind first, I think.
Just help as a redhead, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying. Redheads, they're pretty good at that.
And the husband, who do you think would make the... would do that?
I think it would depend on who plays Millicent, because if they're supposed to be 40 years old, 39, 40 years old in the book. So if they stuck with that age range, I'm assuming it would not be Nicole Kidman, and there would be a different... So if you thought of something like Jessica Chastain as Millicent, I would pick Jake Gyllenhaal for her.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I think he could do it. Because I try to think of like the tennis pro, the preppy guy in the country club kind of, and he's very charming. So I think Jake Gyllenhaal could do a great job. If it was Nicole Kidman, I would pick John Hamm from Mad Men.
Oh, see, he's fantastic too. Mm-hmm. He's one of those actors who could pretty much just do anything. You know, he's funny, but he's also Don Draper.
Yeah. Very handsome. He was a great salesman, as Don Draper.
So good. So smooth. Yes, very, very handsome. But then he was on an episode of 30 Rock, and he was hilarious. Mm-hmm. So he's a good pick. That's tough. The children were very interesting in that book, because you weren't really sure if what they were going through was normal childhood growing pains, along with the fact that weird things were happening in their house that were probably affecting them beyond what they could know, or that maybe there was a psychological thing going on because their parents were so quote-unquote well-adjusted.
Right.
Not really.
That's why I made them teenagers, because I wanted them to have their own personality and to be part of the story, as opposed to a toddler that isn't really anything except having, you know, to be taken care of. So, and the idea in My Lovely Wife was really that they had this thing that they did, this horrible thing, and to them it was a secret, but really the ramifications of it, the ripples were everywhere. It was in the kids, it was in the community. They could not, when you're doing something that horrible, you can't just put it in a box and make sure it doesn't hurt anybody. It hurts everybody. It hurt everybody in the story. And it just rippled out further and further.
I mean, even parents who are doing something not horrible, but think they can put it in a box and hide it from their kids, they can't, because
right.
I've certainly had my share of friends who've discovered things about their parents that they wished they never found out. And it does. It really affects the family even before the family realizes what's going on.
Yes, so. Absolutely. It's all there, whether it doesn't even have to be inherited. It's just something that they can sense and they can figure out. Like, they always know when mom and dad are fighting, even if they don't hear you, they know, you know? So
you can feel it in the air. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a great cover too. I love that cover.
Fantastic cover. Very creepy.
Did you get any input on either of your covers?
They sent me two covers, and then they said, I guess they narrow it down to their favorite two or what have you, and then they send it to me and ask my opinion, and unanimously everybody liked the one with the knife. That was I did, and that was their favorite, and that was the sales team's favorite. Everybody has to weigh in on it. So, and they did the same thing with He Started It. They sent two copies, and then everybody picked their favorite. So I've been lucky that it's been pretty unanimous. There hasn't been an issue where I've liked the one that they didn't like. And I'm not sure what happens when that happens, because it hasn't happened yet. But
okay, so who is on the cover of He Started It? Which character is that?
I can't spoil anything.
it could literally be any of them if you really, well, not Eddie.
It could be any one of multiple females.
Exactly. When you were younger, did you read any of those like tween horrors that were around? I'm not talking about R.L. Stine, but there was like all of these, like the original I Know What You Did Last Summer and these thrillers by, I can't remember her name at the moment, but.
I read the Flowers in the Attic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's V.C. Andrews. And
that's so creepy. That's so off the reservation. It's amazing that the book was published, let alone that it was a big hit. I don't even know if it would get published today. But
I certainly don't think so. And then there was My Sweet Audrina, which is even more bonkers, if you can imagine. And most of V.C. Andrews' books, I think, were ghostwritten after the fact, after those few. So it's amazing that they had such a following that somebody basically went in and said, okay, we're going to do this. How messed up can we get?
And even now, they keep remaking the movie. I mean, there's been multiple versions of the movie. I mean, there was one not too long ago with the girl from Mad Men.
Kieran Shipka. Yeah. And it's funny, somebody, I can't remember where I saw it, but they were trying new covers for it. And they had a cover of these two attractive blonde teens, and it looked like it was a love story. And I showed it to my friend, and she's like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, when you see the original cover of Flowers in the Attic, you know something is messed up. When you look at this, you're like, oh, Flowers in the Attic. Oh, love letters. Nope, 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 nope.
No. Yeah, that's a touchy subject. It was then, but I don't know. Everybody read it when I was a kid. That and Judy Blume. We all would sneak and get the Judy Blume books, and the adult Judy Blume books was the big thing to try to get hold
the,
of.
What was it? Forever
yeah.
was the book that everybody read in their closet.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Go Ask Alice.
Yes, by Anonymous.
By Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I still don't know who wrote that one.
I think we do. I think I don't know if it's, I have to fact check myself, but I feel like it was like a psychologist who pasted the stories together from different people. See, this is where I need to fact check myself and make sure that wasn't a dream, but I'm fairly sure that I read that. Yes. I remember, you know, all those Fear Street books. There was Christopher Pike. There was I Know What You Did Last Summer, which was Lois Duncan. That's who it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't read her. No.
I was
definitely a horror movie fan and thriller movie fan. I used to go back when we had video stores that you went to. I would go and just live in the horror section. So it probably has contributed to my writing to be slightly horror tinged as opposed to a more generic thriller or whatever, however you want to call it. Typical thriller, I guess.
So facts checking, yes, Anonymous was written by Beatrix Sparks. Beatrice Sparks, who was a therapist and author, and she wrote a bunch of other books that she said were diaries, but weren't. And there was some sources who've also named a co-author, Linda Glovac, I believe. So yeah, no, it's interesting because I was such a wimp. I couldn't look at those Fear Street books, those Lois Duncan books. I would cry. And now I basically come in and ask my coworkers, what's the most messed up book you can recommend? And Evelyn's like, you need to read My Lovely Wife. Read it.
My breaking point is the when we get into paranormal. Like, I can't watch Paranormal Activity. I can't.
Oh, really?
That's the stuff, like, I'll stay up at night. Like, those things will be going through my head, and that'll keep me up. So,
For me, it's when people, when they're trying to be graphic for the sake of being graphic, which is what I loved about My Lovely Wife, because you see that knife and you think it's just going to be a gore fest, and it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that was really nicely done. But like those Saw movies and all of those movies that came I'm like, you know, like, is this supposed to be a scary movie or are we just watching gratification?
Gore.
Yeah. Gore gratification, which to me, I'm like, no. I like a little bit of humor in my horror. So you're awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I have had people say that they wouldn't have touched the book if somebody hadn't recommended it because they would think it was gory. So that was kind of the other side of that cover, the big knife, is people think it's gory. So not gory at all. It's all in your mind. It's all implied.
And Suburbia is such a good ground for horror and humor too. It's like fresh with all of this material.
Yeah, and you don't know who your neighbors are. You don't really know what, I mean, you may know them, but you don't know really what's going on in their house, even if they're the perfect PTA people. They're, you don't know.
All right, Evelyn, do you have anything to say before we end?
No, I'm just so glad that we got to talk to you, and we look forward to the third book.
Oh, and we're, and you are going to be virtually at our library on the 29th of July.
Yes.
A virtual bring your own beverage, whatever beverage that is, we're not going to judge. It could be water. It doesn't have to be. With Syosset Public Library.
Yes. And by then the next one will be out. So hopefully some of your attendees will have read it by then.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well, I'm going to pass the arc on to somebody. So There'll be other people that'll read it. I'll have them keep passing it on.
Great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I believe it will be available for download on Overdrive as well.
I will make
and
sure.
And available wherever books are sold, online and offline. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been Jessica with
Evelyn.
And our guest,
Samantha Downing.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.